You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Always will be Aboriginal land! Always will be!
At Perth's Black Lives Matter rally, torrential rain did not deter people from showing up, with the turnout at least double the 8,000 organisers had expected. The protest at Langley Park in Perth CBD went ahead, despite Premier Mark McGowan pleading for organisers to postpone the event until after more COVID-19 restrictions eased. Speakers at the rally called for an independent investigation into Aboriginal deaths in custody, which has reached 434 over the past 30 years.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
Event organiser Jacinta Taylor says the intergenerational impacts from the over-imprisonment of Indigenous Australians must end.
I don't want to be having to be 80 years old and pushing for this kind of change for my children and my children's children. So it's all about just saying to the government, this is a really big issue and this needs to be talked about and this needs to be put right now.
Also a particular concern to protesters is the potential destruction of at least 40 significant Aboriginal sites in the state's central Pilbara region by mining giant BHP Billiton. The director of the Dumbartung Aboriginal Corporation, Robert Eggington, says for far too long, the land of the First Nations people has been sacrificed for economic gain.
The greatest loss is the death that the industrialists and the government commit against our first mother, our earth. For this is where the power of their influence of money is actually more powerful than governments themselves. We have to stop this desecration of our mother earth. We're at a crossroads now where we do have, as Indigenous people, the support globally of all people. We are that slingshot that we can bring Goliath down.
A similar rally was held in Darwin in the Northern Territory, where 1,000 plus people assembled at Civic Park before slowly marching through the CBD. Organisers successfully lodged a coronavirus safety plan with the territory government, which allowed them to host a gathering of over 500 people. Speeches were given and poems were read to describe the suffering experienced by the Indigenous community. One young Indigenous poet says her people continue to feel hurt.
What is this so-called system? Shame.
Shame.
Shame. They say it's in the past, but that's their privilege. For them, it's in the past, but we still face that trauma. Passed down from grandfather to father to son, from grandmother to mother to daughter. Same trauma.
Meanwhile, on the east coast of Australia, refugee activists rallied together in multiple cities. In Sydney CBD, the Refugee Action Coalition pushed ahead with a protest, despite a Supreme Court ruling prohibiting it because of coronavirus concerns. In an attempt to avoid getting arrested, organisers labelled the event an exercise protest, with demonstrators doing laps around the block and wearing activewear. James Supple from the Refugee Action Coalition says refugees are not receiving proper medical treatment and their mental health is deteriorating.
Those issues are urgent, like we can't wait several months to say that, you know, people's mental health is rapidly deteriorating, that they need their freedom, that they've been held for far too long.
In Brisbane, protesters gathered again outside the Kangaroo Point Central Hotel and Apartments, where refugees and asylum seekers have been housed for just over a month. Demonstrators broke plasterboard on a barricade in front of the hotel after a man being housed there made a passionate plea to hug his son who was just outside. Protesters are demanding the government release refugees and asylum seekers into the community. In Melbourne, refugee activists gathered across 8 sites in groups of 20 to comply with the legal limit on gatherings. One refugee advocate firmly shook his right fist as he called for detained asylum seekers and refugees to be freed.
Let us keep up the fight and never rest until we shut down these detention centres and until all refugees are freed to safety.
Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack rebuked protesters for gathering despite the COVID-19 regulations.
Common sense would dictate to them that they should be staying at home and that they should not be flouting social distancing rules, gathering for causes that, which, yes, may seem important and may be important. But the important thing is that we don't have a second wave of attacks.
Protesters rejected claims they were not doing their part to deal with the COVID-19 concerns and pointed to moves by the federal government to ease restrictions on large gatherings. Prime Minister Scott Morrison on Friday outlined an easing of rules on gatherings, which could be implemented by state governments as early as the 1st of July. The changes include scrapping the limit of 100 people in indoor gatherings and allowing crowds of up to 10,000 to attend outdoor concerts or sport matches at mid-sized suburban stadiums or ovals. This protester in Sydney says she is concerned by the denouncement of protest gatherings when moves are underway to allow large gatherings in other settings.
We're very spaced out. Most of us are wearing masks. We also know that the risk at this point is relatively low. The government itself has said that it's fine to for football games to go ahead, for gyms to open as of today. People can have 20 people in their houses. The rates of the spread of the virus are relatively low at this point. But at the same time, it's absolute sheer hypocrisy from the government, who's willing to keep refugees and asylum seekers locked up in very cramped circumstances where the idea of social distancing is an absolute joke.
Sonia Lal, SBS News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.